I had to change the volume. Phil talks softer than I do. All right. Well, what I wanted to do today is part one of just a two-part series entitled, What Are We Supposed to Be Doing? What are we supposed to be doing? You talk to the average person on the street, what's the church all about? And a lot of people might not be able to tell you. And much of this won't be a surprise to many of you. For some of you, it will be some review, probably in a little different format than we've talked about in the past. But I felt like it was appropriate, based on some of the things that have been shaking around in my head, that I share these things with you this morning. What we're supposed to be doing as a church, as Christians, individually and as a body of believers, what we're about. I want to read a couple scriptures to start off, two very significant scriptures in this. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, first of all, says this. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Getting a bit of a ring here. Let me see if I can stop that. That's the first one I want you to keep in your mind. The second one is in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These are two scriptures that are quoted quite frequently because they're often referred to as, number one, the Great Commandment. You can fill in your first blank there. Number one, the Great Commandment. And that's the Matthew 22 chapter. You know, what's the greatest commandment, Jesus is asked? What's the greatest commandment? And he responds by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On all these commandments, on all these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets." So Jesus basically says, you want to know what the greatest commandment is? That's what it is. And so that passage of scripture, Jesus' response to the man who asked him, what's the greatest commandment, is often called the Great Commandment. Capital G, capital C. There you go. And then the second passage, Jesus' words, his final instructions that he left to the disciples just before that he ascended into heaven. And this is what he tells them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations." That's often referred to as the Great Commission. Great Commission. Now, if you were to pull out like a copy of the Wesleyan Discipline, you'd find out that these two play a very key role in the purpose statement of the Wesleyan Church. Wesleyan Church is all about the Great Commandment and all about the Great Commission. And the reality is, when we bring it down, everything we do as Christians, everything that we do as Christians and as a church should stem from these two mandates, these two commands, these two things. This is our purpose. This is what we're about. You know, we're not about buildings or committees or potluck dinners or community projects, though some of those things can play a part in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. But everything we do, everything we do should stem from these two things. Well, you know, if somebody asked you what's the purpose of your church and you were to stand up and say, well, it's the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, they might look at you funny, kind of like some of those signs that we were looking at before. And so how do we boil this down to the most practical term possible? How do we bring it down and make this as practical and accessible to us, just the ordinary folks? You know, what does that mean for me in my life? The Great Commandment. What does that mean for me in my life? The Great Commission. Well, I believe the Great Commandment boils down to two of the first three here. Let's really boil it down. I like your text. That's kind of fancy. It's pretty cool. Okay. Number one, love God. Period. Number two, love people. Period. That's the Great Commandment right there. Now, you have to have an understanding of what it really means to love God and love people. We'll talk a little bit about that. love is a very misunderstood word in our world, is it not? You know, I love my cat. I love chocolate. I love my computer. No, I don't. I love my wife. Hopefully, I love my wife differently than I love chocolate. You would think, you know. So we use that word love pretty flippantly. What does that mean? So we want to define that. But if we boil the great commandment down to four words, love God, love people, that's what we're about. And then finally, if the Great Commission, if these were Jesus' final words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, they were probably important. Let's boil it down. Two words, make disciples. Make disciples. A disciple is just a follower of Christ. It's somebody who's a learner, somebody who's an apprentice of sorts, learning the ropes, trying to become like his master. And even though we talk about the 12 disciples who later became the 12 apostles, or the 11 apostles and then the 12 apostles again, anyway, we talk about those. If we are people that have given our lives to Jesus Christ, we're called. Even if you haven't, you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, God has still called you to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, to pattern your life after him, to become like him. And so what I wanted to do today is focus primarily on number one. I'm going to focus on number two and three next week, but I'm going to kind of focus on the first part of the Great Commandment, because this is first and foremost the most important thing that we as Christians, as believers, as people, as a church need to learn to do. Everything else becomes more important than that. So today, I really want to focus primarily on that, number one, loving God, how we can do that, what that looks like in our life. Simply saying it isn't enough. Do you know that? Simply saying it is not enough, because we're good at saying. We're guilty of sacrificing the future for the sake of the moment. How often do we tell somebody what they want to hear, or we hint at something they want to hear to get us off the hook so we don't have to tell them the real truth, because we want to avoid the pain now? Of course, then it ends up being more pain later. Somebody says, are you going to be at the meeting? Well, you're pretty sure you're not, but instead of saying no, you say, well, I'll try, which means no, but I didn't want to tell you no right now. And unfortunately, our words have consequences. And we can say, I love you, but if we don't do it or show it, it's not enough to say it. We've got to do it. We've got to show it. And now a word from our sponsor.
Do you know what today is?
Of course I do.
Did you get me a present?
No, I didn't.
Flowers?
No.
A card?
No. But I meant to.
You meant to.
I really thought about it.
I love you.
If only it really was the thought that counts. Fortunately, Walgreens has thousands of locations, many open 24 hours, with the Hallmark cards and gift wrap you need for any occasion.
Walgreens didn't pay me a cent to play that for you this morning. You get the point? You know what today is? It's my birthday. Did you get me a present? No. A card? No. Flowers? No. But I meant to. How many of you have tried that line? I meant to. Did it work like in the commercial? No. I meant to. You're wonderful. No. I meant to means nothing. I was going to do it means nothing. That's how we men cover ourselves. Well, I was going to. You just came here before I had a chance to do it yet. Saying you love somebody, saying you were going to do it, saying you're going to do it is worthless if you don't do it and you don't show it. Our love for God is like that. You can say, I love God. Really? Really? How do we love God? How do we show our love to him? Well, I've come up with three ways, and well, technically more than three, but But the first way that I realized, and it's a way that we do it together corporately and a way that we can do it when we're by ourselves, is through the simple act of worshiping him. And it's funny because worship isn't something that we do for God because he demands it, but it's something that God has given us the opportunity to do, to get our eyes off of ourselves and to get our eyes off of our problems and to get our focus on something that's eternal and something that's got value and is going to last. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful songs." A great way to worship God is through music. How many of you who aren't even musical still find yourself humming tunes in the shower? You know, I mean, you know, even those that aren't that musical, there's something about music, there's something about singing a song, there's something about humming a melody, there's something about whistling a tune that can bring something up in us. And connecting with God in that way through music. But worship isn't all about music, though. There are other things. So, yeah, we can sing to worship God, but we can go ahead onto the next slide there. Yeah, singing, great example. Praying. Worship God by communicating and expressing ourselves to him. But by giving. And this might be of giving our time, giving of our offerings, giving of ourselves, worshiping God by giving. By learning to know him. You know, and this isn't rocket science, because any of you know, whenever you're trying to pursue building a relationship with someone you care about, whether, you know, it's a young couple that are engaged and building a relationship, or somebody who's married, or a parent building a relationship with a child, or vice versa, or just simple friendship, that if you're going to actually invest in a love relationship, you've got to be willing to put some effort into that and do some things that involve expressing appreciation, complimenting, talking, spending time together, getting to know the other person. There's a lot of people go to college and they take theology courses and they learn a lot about God, but oftentimes they neglect to get to know God. Back the fall before Laura and I got married, it was probably one of the longest times. I was in Ontario working at the Winchester Wesleyan Church, and Laura was on the road traveling with her folks. And that was about the time that long-distance bills were still pretty pricey. You know, now you can call pretty much anywhere for 5 cents, 4 cents, 3 cents. Then, if you called in the middle of the day, bam! Yeah. Laura had one of those phone bills on the Nebraska side, and I said, you know what, sweetie? It's cheaper. At that time, Bell Canada had better long-distance rates, so I would call her on Wednesday night. So we talked once a week for an hour. That was a long 4 months. I wrote letters, long, sappy, meandering, pointless letters. Well, not to her. She wrote me long letters, and I kept them in a book and read them over and waited for the phone call. We were trying to build a relationship, you know, when we were apart. But it's interesting, you know, we amassed quite a collection of letters. And if any of you had wanted, you know, and even yet, I think I have a bunch of those letters in a little binder next to some of the photos. And you could open that and you could decide that you know, I'm going to get to know Laura and I'm going to read the letters that she wrote to Jason to get to know her. Or let's even back up. Instead of even doing that much, instead of doing that, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to read those letters. I'm going to just ask Jason about Laura, and I'm going to get to know her that way. And you could learn some things about Laura by talking to me and talking to people that know her. But would you really know her? No. Sometimes we approach God in that way. Instead of really getting to know God, instead of reading what God's written to us, we go to other people and say, well, tell me, you know, I want to learn things about God. So we learn about God. And we never really know God. And so these things, by expressing our our love to him through singing and by talking to him and by reading the word and by giving of ourselves and by just determining that we're going to know him through worship, we can express our love to him. Another real practical way that we can express our love to God is, number two, loving others. If you don't necessarily think of this, so I'm actually getting into the second point a little bit, but I want to relate it to loving God. Here's what the scriptures say. John wrote this, 1 John 4, 20-21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Plain and simple. Ouch. Yeah, but what about... For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You can say things like, well, I don't have a problem with God. I just have a problem with this person and that person and that person. And you know what? If you have a problem with that person, that person, that person, you got a problem with God. You better go talk to God and figure out how you're going to work out your problem with those people. There's no way to soft pedal this point. There is no way to soft pedal it. Now you're all real quiet. Sorry. Loving others is the most practical way. You remember in the New Testament when people stand before God and the Lord said, you know, I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was in prison, you did not visit me. And they say, Lord, when were you? When did you need clothing? When did you need food? When, if we had known. And he says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. One of the most practical ways that we can show our love to God is showing love to one another and to people in our community. Period. Show it. Not just say it, but show it. And three, this ties in. Simple obedience. Simple obedience. Jesus said, John 14:11, if you love me, keep my commandments. Other translations say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So you can look at it from two perspectives. I will obey God, I'll keep his commandments because I love him, or my love for him will compel me to listen and to do what he's asked. And this ties in with the second point. Here's an example. John 21. I was talking to the teen class this morning about Peter and Paul and how God had changed their lives and you know, how they'd become bold men proclaiming the gospel. And you know, Peter, before the Holy Spirit had really got a hold of his heart, was really always kind of hot and cold. He was always gung-ho, and then he was the first one to kind of panic when everything went wrong. You know, gung-ho and back away and curse. You know, he was the one that says, you know, Lord, I'll follow you to death. You know, they'll have to kill me. And Jesus looks at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And then Peter's all kind of hurt and offended. And then when push comes to shove, what does he end up doing? He denies Christ three times. I don't know him. You know, so one day he's saying, Lord, I'll follow you to death. And the next day he's saying, I don't know, I have any idea who he is. And so here we have the exchange between Jesus and Peter after Jesus has come back from the dead and they've met on the beach and Jesus says in John 21:15 after they'd eaten breakfast, he says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, and that's not the same Jonah as the Jonah and the whale Jonah, by the way, that was a long time before, but anyway, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And Peter says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. One interesting thing you don't see in this translation is the different words they used. Jesus used the word agape for love, which is that really selfless, all-encompassing love that God has for us. And Peter used the word phileo, which is really more like. So it's kind of like Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, well, Jesus, you know I like you. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. What's he talking about? take care. Take care of my followers. Take care of my church. If you really love me, then do the work that I've put out for you. Show it. What's happened in the past, it's irrelevant now. If you really love me, if you really love me and you say you love me and you want to show it, feed my sheep, do the work. That's our mandate. Loving God. Let's look at one last scripture and then we'll wrap it up. 1 John 4:16-11. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You see, this is simply our response to what he's already done. He has given us sufficient reason to proclaim his goodness. He has given us sufficient reason to respond to him in love because of what he has already done. We love him because he first loved us. You know, there are some people in your life, they're just hard to love? Anybody like that? Now, if you're not putting your hand up, it's a good possibility that you're that person in somebody else's life right now. No, the fact is that sometimes it takes a little bit of, you know, mustering that up, you know, and really the grace of God to help us love the unlovable. But the truth is, God makes it pretty easy for us to love him because of all that he's already done. How he's reached out to us, how he's offered his son in our place. All this is available to us. So today, this week, perhaps you need to look at your life and say, you know what, if I was put on this earth and one of the most important things that I'm supposed to do is to love God, I better start learning how to do that. I better start learning ways to express that through worship, through loving others, and through simple obedience to what God has called me to do. It's no more complicated than that. It's no more complicated than that. Let's stand together and pray, and then we'll let you get gone for the afternoon. Thanks so much. Father, thank you for just a great day. And that your love for us compels us to love you. And I pray, Lord, that we would find ways to love you in the most practical fashion possible, Lord. As we look at our world and we see hurting people and we see nations falling apart, Lord, that we have an opportunity as individuals and as a body to learn to love you. And in loving you, we have the opportunity to love others. I pray, Lord, that as we lift you up, as people see your character living in us, that they would be drawn to you and drawn to what it is that you want to do, the changes that you want to make in people's lives. And Lord, I know that the work that you have begun in many people here is a work that you intend to carry on to completion. And there may be some here today, Lord, that realize they have not yet made that commitment to you. They need to stop, take stock, think about their life, and realize that the beginning starts here. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross for our sin and for what it means for our salvation and for our purpose and for the work that we can do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll look at the person next to you and say, it's not about you. It's not about you. All right, we'll see you next time. God bless.